Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And you're in the middle of a storm.
Yeah, it's coming to you right now from Fort Lauderdale. This is Andrew Horowitz. Boy, it's ugly there. Not so, bad.
I guess it's a dud.
It's a dud. And by the way, everybody in the chat room, yes, there is a hissing sound. The bottom line is that we have some kind of weird feedback from the sound cards. I tried 12 different ways from Sunday to try to get that fixed. And just turn the sound down a little bit. Just a little bit. I'll turn it down.
Not hissing to me.
No, you don't hear it. It doesn't happen on the recording. And I want to just turn this down ever so slightly.
Something to do with the chat room.
It has to do with the stream, the way I have it hooked through into out of the board into a mic in or line in. And it's just some kind of computer feedback. So it's light. It's not terrible, but it's there. It doesn't
maybe
happen
it's
on the
some angry lesbians hissing at you.
Oh, really? Maybe. Well, we do have a lot to talk about. Yes, and the storm is over. Well, it's over for us here, but in areas of like Marsh Harbor in the Bahamas and in Freeport, West End, just absolutely ugly situation there. Horrible. Have you seen the...
Yeah.
Have you seen the pictures?
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah. Really, really bad.
Did you see the live video of the guy whose house is like his, I guess he's got double paned windows or triple paned or something where the water is like he's in an underground bunker.
Yep. And the water is splashing up against the windows, right?
Yeah.
And there's a video of a house where there's water up to the second floor.
A lot of water.
Yeah, terrible. Well, what we have going on here now in the markets, we have August is over. Thank goodness. What a sloppy month that was. September.
You should have sold in May.
Sold in May. Should have sold in July. That would have been the ticket. We did. We actually, for our trading portfolios, we did do a lot of selling in July. That worked out really well. Really well, actually. But now we have September here, and if history is any viewpoint of the future, September is not always not a good month.
Yeah.
So, you know, right now we are sitting on actually the worst month of the year from a historic standpoint. We'll see how that plays out. But so that's what's going on. Let's see what else we have here. Hong Kong protests getting worse. Did you see the blue dye that's been?
Yeah, I think it was a really genius idea.
How smart is that?
Yeah. Of course, now the Hong Kongers in kind of showing signs of unity, you have to paint each other blue.
Yeah, right. Everybody's going to get sprayed blue now, right?
Yeah.
Right. And they're going to have to do something where they figure out what the actual dye lot was, right? Or something, right? You do some kind of a color spectrometer.
Drop on you. If it turns pink, you're right. The one got real dye.
Right. Like a color spectrometer or something you put on there and say, no, you're a shade off. No good. Volatility remains a constant in the markets. The VIX is right about a 20 still. And what else? Talk about the storm. Ah, blowhards. That's my theme for the week. Blowhards everywhere between weather-related and politicians. And politicians spanning the gamut of politics from central banks to Fed speakers within the central banks, as well as all the politicians trying to make it look like something is better than it's not. We'll talk about some of that, I'm sure. We did have recovery week last week. There was hope for the tariff postponement. There was this kind of underlying tone that, you know, September 1st is approaching and, you know, maybe last minute at the 11th hour, we'll see somebody come to their senses and say, you know, those spur of the moment tariff deals that we were putting on this September 1st, you know, maybe we'll just ratchet that down for a second. I think that was really the hope. That was what was going through the minds of investors last week as they were bidding up the market, even though it was a bit of a recovery bounce after a 4-week down period. But August did end up down. And we ended up down again today when we had, oh boy, I don't even know what was going on today. We had Brexit issues that they're redoing Parliament and reshaping it to try to block Boris.
Boris Johnson, you're talking about?
No, it was Johnson, but there was somebody who was trying, was it Carney? Was trying to, you know what, there's so much movement in this whole thing right now. Bottom line is he was going to try to create a vote. He was going to try to get this whole thing on a no-Brexit deal and try to force the issue. Now they're trying to disassemble Parliament, change it around so this can't be done, and blocking this. Now trying for a three-month extension on the deal. Do you think that Europe's going to give them a three-month extension?
I have no idea.
I mean, who knows at this point?
This whole thing's a fiasco.
It's a fiasco. And all they want is they want the continuation of these postponements because they can't make a decision. And it seems to me, as you've pointed out so adeptly over the years, that they don't want to make a decision. They just want this to go away somehow, magically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, well, I know how that's going to happen.
Yep. The pull forward finally arrives. We have the discussion that I had at the end of last year into the beginning of this year. I thought it was going to be the second quarter where we're going to see manufacturing really take a dive. We saw that happen in China, and Asia manufacturing has been in real trouble, but we didn't really see anything here. We saw a trend going lower, but today we saw that the ISM manufacturing number dipped below 50 for the first time since 2016. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see there's a chart there. You can find these on DH Unplugged, episode number 471. It'll be in the show notes. But you can see this chart that shows it, I think, pretty clear. Look at that. That trend has been definitely moving lower since, about August 18th, 2018? And now we dipped into contraction zone, which means that it just essentially there's not growth. There's a reverse of growth. The expansion of manufacturing
is exactly. They're shutting down.
So you may see something to do with in the manufacturing area, a small amount of possibly some layoffs happening as they slow down. I wouldn't be too surprised if the next couple of employment reports, which we have one on Friday of this week, show that there is some job losses in that area. And it's funny because, you remember last week we talked about, I think it was last week, we talked about the excuses and the rationalizations that are going on?
Yes.
So I think today we saw once this manufacturing snuck under 50, all over the television media, there's all this discussion. Well, you know, it's not that important because we're not a manufacturing economy anymore. And, you know, not a big deal because it's probably just a small blip. And even if we don't have a growth in manufacturing, what's the big deal anyway? I'm like, oh, okay. If that's the case.
Well, that other index is going down too.
Right. The service index is going down also. So we're at 54 last month. But I think it's interesting because if you think about it, manufacturing is very important. Even though it's 30%, think about that. If there is a manufacturing recession going on, don't you think that that's going to have a significant impact on jobs, on confidence, on spending, on the economy? And if there isn't manufacturing slowdown going on, doesn't that lead into other areas of the economy like retail and construction and housing? And it's all sorts of areas, right?
Yeah.
So you should take a look at that chart. If nothing, there's good colors there. What else we got? We talked about that. The pound dives today. Banks have been smoked in England and Ireland over the last few days. Last few weeks, really. I want to just, before we go on, talking about blowhards, Hurricane Dorian. I saw somewhere in, I don't know if it was yours or Adam's feed on Twitter. That's John, the real Dvorak on Twitter.
Yeah.
That there was this theory that's making the rounds that somehow the hurricane was steered and tried to be steered to pass directly over Jeffrey Epstein's island in order yeah, to destroy all this. Evidence?
Yeah, some guy had this, he put it out there. As soon as he said, it's a guy that's a no agenda listener, if ever there was. Steered that sucker right over Epstein's island and blow up the place.
Just to get rid of the evidence.
Well, I don't know what evidence is there, but it's a funny idea.
Yeah. Larry Kudlow. There was another video that's been making the rounds. Larry Kudlow on the Sunday morning news last week, I think it was. And you got to watch it at your own leisure. There's a link here. But he comes across rather, let's just say, either very tired or exhausted or kind of hitting the bottle a little early in the morning.
He seems to sound a little bit sheets to the wind ish.
Yeah.
Of late. Yes. How old is he?
He's got to be all of 70.
He's in his 80s, I'm sure.
I think he's in his 80s?
I don't know. I'll look him up.
Larry Kudlow, age. He is born, he's 72.
Well,
but we know he's had problems in the past.
He must have a liver that's 80 then.
But he was on there and he was making some very weird hand gestures, kind of the kind that you would see when someone is like overly drunk. There was the kind of like wagging their arms around in a weird way that doesn't match up to what they're saying.
You gotta be on TV. You should never be drunk.
Oh?
Unless that's your job.
Right. So some people in the chat room saying the video was doctored. Really? I mean, it's all over the place, this video. What do you I mean, you could, I guess you could doctor it, right? But not the hand movement. That you really can't do. You could slur the words, maybe.
Yeah, you can always slur words.
You know, you could do something like that. But I don't know. It just fits too well.
But I noticed this before, too. Last week, he was yakking away about stuff. And he seemed to be like, you know, taking like one extra scotch before he goes on the air just so he can, you know, whatever, he bring himself to whatever, to say anything, I guess. I'm not sure what his problem is.
Maybe he needs it in order to say the kind of things that he's talking about that he sees
that's
no reason.
Possible. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
He needs to get himself all lubed up because he just really doesn't agree with any of this that he's going to go on and say. Maybe. It's possible. Volkswagen's in the hot seat again. Seems that
now what did they do? I didn't get this story.
They must forfeit greenhouse gas emissions credits as it lowered the fuel economy ratings on they're about to do this on 96,000 vehicles. The EPA said that some of the vehicle software overstated real world performance. And on Friday,
that's called all cars,
right? But it seems to be a pattern a little bit. They only overstated it by about, I think it was 1 mile per gallon or something like that on the Audis, Bentleys, Porsches, and Volkswagen vehicles.
No, they're being picky because I think you take any American car and look at those numbers and actually drive the car around in the real world, you're not getting any of those numbers.
Yeah, well, we always knew that. Is there anybody out there that hasn't bought a car in history and it says there that you're going to make, you know, an average of, let's just say, 25 miles per gallon, right? And you get it on the real world road and you're like, what? How come I'm only getting like 18? Am I doing something wrong? Am I driving oddly?
Yeah, and you're not, no, generally.
It happens all the time.
The only numbers that come close to hitting the real actual numbers are Priuses, I will say.
And that's because of they're being honest on that one car?
I think it's just the battery, the way the battery works. The thing about a Prius is that miles per gallon is kind of meaningless when you're in the city driving on electric and if you're not using any gas whatsoever. It seems to have I think the numbers don't mean anything. They're bogus because what happens is that you're driving around electric for 10, 20 miles and then you hit the road and then it recharges the battery. And then you come back to the city and back on electric, you're driving around, you're stuck in traffic for an hour, let's say, you don't use 1 ounce of gas or battery. And I mean, the whole thing is different. It's so different that you get these huge numbers that are kind of actually low.
Well, Volkswagen is going to be having to pay another $95 million to reimburse eligible customers for the fuel economy restatement.
Huh.
Just add it to their bill. I mean, I have people that I know that had the Volkswagen diesel cars that were the main culprit in that whole emission gate deal.
Yeah. Yeah. And you wonder why they went like bats. Those little diesels went like bats out of hell.
Yeah.
They did.
Right. I have people that loved them. And
I've driven those things. They're fantastic.
He had his car. One of my friends had his car for, I think, 3 or 4 years. And he was able to basically keep it and get back what he bought it for and then just sell it for some small amount after the fact. It was unbelievable what he got back on it.
Yeah, I think people who bought those diesels could have, if they played their cards right, made out.
Yeah, and he did. It was a great deal. Got a big fat check. I wonder if it was taxable. That's interesting.
Probably was.
Yeah. So anyway, Volkswagen, once again, you know, the same thing going on and on. Who knows where it's going to go from here? But, you know, at the end of the day, you do know that this kind of stuff will continue to go on, because if you're just going to get slapped with these fines and they figure a way that they can probably come up with what's the worst case scenario, what's the worst they could do to us? And people don't care. Do people really care? People are like, oh, Volkswagen, they're down. So you say, oh, let's take a little bit off of it, off of what it says on the sticker. And that's what it really is. I don't think people really care. And then the fines are just bogus. They'll just keep on doing what they do.
I believe that's true.
I mean, look at the Roundup lawsuits that are going on. And how Monsanto bought the company, right? Didn't they buy them knowing?
No, Bayer bought the company.
Bayer knowingly bought the company with that overhang.
I find it so weird.
They realize, you know what? What's the worst that's going to happen? The worst they're going to find. They're going to appeal it. They're going to just keep on throwing money at it. They'll raise the prices on their stuff. They'll keep on selling the stuff. Nothing's been taken off the market.
The only way you can afford to do this is if you're gouging the public to begin with.
Yes. And that's what's going on.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
But they continue doing it because they have good lawyers and they know the way around all this. It's prevalent in every aspect of business. It's like you have to do the pricing to include.
Until they start throwing CEOs.
Right.
And other executives into prison for 2 years minimum. So they really have to, you know, go to prison. This will continue. Once they start putting people in prison, this stops instantly.
And why won't they? And what's the problem?
Because the people that would be making the decision to throw people into jail are probably guilty of stuff themselves where they can be thrown into jail. Everybody's culpable.
Yeah, that's the problem. Everybody's covering everybody else's asses. And they want, if they're in the public sector, they want a deal afterwards, right? So I'm in the public sector and I'm an attorney and I'm a prosecutor. I do my time. I get my pension. I want to go work in the private sector. Now I get gobbled up by major firms because they want me because I know the insides of the whole deal. Or I get gobbled up by a company as the inside counsel. You know, and because they know, but you can't really favor that kind of person if, in fact, they've thrown half your board in jail.
Right.
Right. So terrible.
I don't know.
Terrible. Well, there's bad news.
The only guy ever got thrown in jail was Michael Milken, who really his only crime was, as far as I'm concerned, the invention of the junk bond, which actually helped finance a lot of important businesses.
He's not still
a financial
in jail.
Genius.
He's still in jail. He's got the Milken Institute now, or something like that.
Yeah, he does other charitable things.
Yeah. There's some bad news and good news for once with China. First, the good news: the growth in China's service sector activity picked up for the first time in 5 months in August. "Quote unquote" official data showed. And what's funny about this is anytime I say official data from China, when it's good, and I talk to a certain group of people I know, they're like, can't believe those numbers. But when you tell them the bad news, they're like, yeah, see? Yeah, I told you. I'm like, how do you do that? Don't we have to believe all the numbers or none of them?
I don't know. I think none of them is probably your best bet.
That's a better way to go. But it did pick up. We saw that the official non-manufacturing number, the PMI, came in at 53.8 from 53.7. So it stayed well above that 50 point. They're having the same trouble, though, when it comes to manufacturing, just like we are, where our services are still in expansion and we're having a manufacturing slowdown. Same thing is happening there, where their PMI fell to 49.5 in August. So this is 49.7 in July, still contracting again on a monthly basis, showing that they are also in a manufacturing recession. And that may be a major component. That it's more important for them because their manufacturing sector is a lot larger in comparison to ours on a percentage basis. So,
yes, well. Yeah.
So that's what's going on in China. And overnight, there's been some other issues that are running around there. And, you know, there was some news this morning about from they seem to be putting a lot of information through the official channels of their the newspapers and the official media. And there was some talk about, you know, that China is definitely willing to do a deal and work on this as long as it's fair and it makes sense. You know, trying once again to push markets. And that happened early today. And then after that, we had some more political posturing from Trump. This is his next art of the deal when it comes to the tariffs. He said in a tweet, if the Fed would cut, we would have one of the biggest stock market increase in a long time. Actually, this is this weekend. He said, badly run and weak companies are smartly blaming these small tariffs instead of themselves for bad management. And who could really blame them for doing that? Excuses. So now President Trump is throwing the whole issue with regard to the stock market selling off slightly in August and the problems in the economy on the Fed and on companies now. Now, the companies are just doing a really poor job at managing all this.
Well.
Yeah, do you agree with that?
No, I can't agree or disagree. I don't know what he's getting at this time. I mean, it seems to me that the interest rates are already so low that it's really going to be a problem if you have to really lower them, you know, on purpose instead of just to manipulate the market. Because there's going to be nowhere to go except negative interest rates, and no one's going to put up with that in this country.
Yeah, the next rate announcement is going to be the 18th of September. So, you know, there's already speculation, at least 25 basis points, if not 50, which I don't know. We'll see Friday what the numbers come out and look like on the employment front. But I'd be hard-pressed at this point after the last move down and when the Fed chair said it was a interim adjustment or a kind of mid-cycle adjustment. That's what it is. And now all of a sudden we're going to have some kind of...
Well, he does have the excuse of those manufacturing numbers to point at.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we can do that. And then President Trump this morning came out and said something to the effect of, if you think, I'll give you just a paraphrase. You know, if you think tariffs are tough now, if I get reelected, they're going to be much tougher. And I think that what he was trying to get at there was the idea that if China is going to wait for the election, this should scare them as opposed to.
Yes.
Right. As opposed to make them feel comfortable with the fact that they will skate by after the election because.
Well, they are betting, and one of China's leading, I don't know who this guy is, but I've read about him, the guy who predicted Trump was going to win in the last election, is the one who's now predicting that Trump will lose the next election. And so, because of him or this organization that did this, they're betting on Trump getting ousted and then this whole thing goes away. And that's what Trump knows about. And that's why he made that threat.
It's interesting because this morning there was also another comment out of the South China Post or whatever particular newspaper it was that said that they don't believe that anybody coming in will be less tough on this moving forward. Whoever's elected is going to be just as tough. And they pointed to Elizabeth Warren, how they thought that she was also pretty negative on China and would probably keep up the pressure. So I'm not sure what that was all about, why they were.
I think it's an interesting theory. I don't know if it's true, But Elizabeth Warren's a big talker. She always threatens. You know, she's the one who was all in on the robocalls some years back, did nothing. She's a big saber rattler.
Or as the theme of the show, blowhard.
She's a blowhard.
Blowhard. And that is right what I'm going to segue into. Just a little bit of politics here for a second, because I don't understand this, and I need you to clarify something for me. We've been seeing the promises. This is nothing unusual. This is business as usual, where we have, during the campaign, there are promises made, hoping to draw in people that meet the criteria that would benefit from whatever promise is being made, right? U.S. presidential contender Bernie Sanders proposed a plan on Saturday to cancel $81 billion in existing past due medical debt for Americans. With no details, of course. he said in the statement that under his plan, the government would negotiate and pay off past due medical bills that have been reported to credit agencies. And in this proposal, he said that they would also repeal some elements of the 2005 bankruptcy reform and allow other existing and future medical debt to be discharged. What the hell? So now we're going to get rid of student debt, debt that people were increased. That's a little bit different. There was a choice there to a degree. Whereas medical bills may not have been a choice, right? You may not have had the right insurance. There may have been some things you had to get done. I mean, you're not going to skimp on your medical, so you get this done and then you get a bill going. Is this where we're going? Is this it's all massive bribery to the to everybody?
Well, it looks like. Bernie's not getting in anyway, so it doesn't really matter. They're not going to let Bernie get anywhere. It's just not, the powers that be are not going to let Bernie get the nomination. It's just not happening.
Do you think that Sanders
too is dangerous? Too dangerous.
What about Sanders?
That's what I meant. Bernie Sanders.
No, I'm sorry. I know. That's what you said. I was thinking something else and said something else. Elizabeth Warren. Yeah.
Well, Warren's different because Warren is a big talker and she doesn't do much. Everybody believes, at least from what I get from talking to people, and because I go to protests and check and talk to people. Everybody, and I think the powers that be believe this too. Everybody believes that whatever Bernie says, he's actually going to do it, which is, makes him dangerous because all the other politicians, they're just big blowhards, like you said, and Elizabeth Warren being at the top of the list there. So they don't, she can make the same promises Bernie does, which a lot of them are doing. They're making Bernie Sanders promises, but nobody thinks they're going to execute these things, whereas they do think Bernie would.
$81 billion we're going to get rid of.
It's going to be right there tomorrow.
Get rid of it.
We can both do that.
Yeah. But it is this bribery thing where right now, that's why presidential cycles are so interesting from the investment side. Where, why is it that the third year in a presidential cycle, particularly one that is, it's either an incumbent or a new president coming in. Why are they so important? Because there's all of these incredible amounts of promises that are being made, whether it's cuts in taxes, refunding of monies, new programs that are being put. It's all of this bribery being presented under the nose of the voters, and therefore kind of gets the markets in a mood to do some good. That there's a lot to be said about the third year of a presidential cycle and why there is oftentimes a good deal going on. We have some mass shootings that I'm just so sickened by these. It's just horrible. And the last one in Odessa, because a guy was fired and obviously mentally unstable. We got some companies coming out with a few things. Walmart came out today and they're discontinuing the sales of their short barrel rifle ammunition. The 223 caliber, the 5.56 caliber. I don't know what those are. But the discontinuing sales of handgun ammunition and discontinuing handgun sales entirely in Alaska. So I don't know why Alaska was pointed out.
Why Alaska?
They obviously probably don't have.
If anybody needs a gun, it's in Alaska.
I don't understand the whole Alaska thing. But they're also asking their shoppers to no longer openly carry firearms in stores, which I'm happy with. in states where open carry laws are allowed, unless they are authorized law enforcement officers.
I feel the opposite.
You think it's okay?
Well, I mean, if you have a bunch of guys in Texas and half the place is packing and is a parent, I don't think anyone's going to start shooting up the place.
Yeah, I don't know the difference of where the open carry law.
Well, Texas also has concealed carry law. You can conceal carry.
What I'm saying is why is that?
These guys like to have a holster. I don't know. It seems like it's showing off.
No, but why is this linked to why is Walmart making this statement linked with the discontinuance of sales of these other calibers? Why is the open carry? Are they trying to downplay and make it not look cool?
They're just virtue signaling. Look at us. We're good guys. You know, we're doing this and that. You should shop here because we're good guys, you know, because a lot of people who would otherwise not like shopping at Walmart might like it now because they're being, you know, more evolved.
Yes, it is definitely a sense of we see what's happening and we're going to do our little thing to make a change in humanity.
Change the world. Change the world.
Change the world. Yields. Yields have been coming down still. Still have an inversion of the yield curve, but I thought I put a chart up here, a pretty cool table. And this table is the change in yield in basis points from the end of 2018. Just for those that are just joining the conversation about investments, a basis point is the equivalent to a penny to a dollar. So a dollar is, let's think of it as 1%. 50 basis points is like 50 cents or 0.5%, 25 basis points, like a quarter. It's 25, a quarter of a percent. So we talk about basis points. It's a position of how much up to 100, which is 1%. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a table that shows as of today, the amount of yield differential since the end of 2018. So the three-month bill back in 2018 was 2.45%. Today it's 1.98, about 0.5% change. But you look at some of this, the five-year went from 2.5 to 1.4, 110 basis points. I mean, massive moves on a percentage basis.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, you're taking the yield of the five-year down, what, 40% from where it was. The 30-year was at 3.02. It's down 30-something percent. So the real meat, the center of that, it's like the two-year, which is down, let's see, 87 from 250 is what? Again, 40%? 40 or so percent of where it was? I mean, just 40% off or 60% of where it is. I mean, just an incredible amount of question now as to why this is happening. So the argument that's been going on and being fought in the media with analysts is the idea that, okay, is this warranted? Because there is an economic slowdown happening. People are running for safety, going for the safety trade, looking for bonds as cover. Or is this some kind of technical reaction in the form of a arb trade or a some kind of other necessity trade that goes along with the whole negative yielding environment? You follow what I'm saying? Which we've talked about. But
this part of the whole game mystifies me at this point with these numbers. These numbers make no sense.
I think it mystifies most people. I think most people are very, you know, a lot of people saying, well, what can go wrong here? Because if you have negative yields, there's really low likelihood of default. I mean, why would you default on a bond that they're paying you interest rate on? I mean, if you issued a bond and you were getting paid on that bond, how could you ever default on it? Right? It's impossible.
Well, that's an interesting point.
I mean, we were talking about that just today in the office. I'm like, how do you, if you have a 0.5% negative yield, how would you possibly default? Why would you default? You're getting paid on it.
Yeah, you just sit on it as long as you can.
Yeah. So, sorry, Doc, for not being able to listen. There's a little noise on John's end tonight. We'll get that out in post.
No, sorry.
Yep. Dog whistle. You gotta maybe just listen from a little bit further away. Anyway, yields are obviously concerning for a lot of people because of the fact that you have obviously almost I'd call it crisis level yields around the world. And this is, you know, I mean, it's simply insane to believe that this is going to be able to turn out well. However, at the same time, money is cheap. The opportunity, there's a crazy amount of desire for, you know, people to issue bonds and bring money in, and people are chasing yield. So it's you know, it's, anyway, there you go. All right. In the chat room, let's come up with something a little bit more productive than talking about the little hiss that's in the thing. I will try. I tried
one. Chat rooms tend to be obsessive.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be in a chat room.
Right. So I am. I will make another move. This is, I think it's because of the electrical hum off of the soundboards inside of a computer when you pass it through. So I get that. It's not the wires. It's nothing else.
You need a couple of those magnet thingies.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to get a separate mini board. And what I'm going to do is I did this today and it worked just fine. I tested it. The only problem was somehow there was a distortion of the sound of my voice. So when I said, hello, testing 1, 2, 3, what you heard was, hello, testing 1, 2, 3. You know, I said, that's not going to be new. And by the way, that you would have had a lot more problem with chat room than the hiss. So I will get a separate board and I will plug it in directly into the USB and try to run it through by next week. Okay. That's what I'm going to do. I'll spend the money and do it. So there you go.
That's solved.
Yep. Hong Kong. Hong Kong's getting hit, you know, between all the protests and everything that's going on. Casino stocks with the exposure to Macau are really getting hit. And the Gaming Inspection and Coordination Bureau said that the companies and the overall gaming experience revenue fell 8.6% year over year in August, and that follows a 3.5% decline in July. Gross gaming revenue came in down 1.9% year over year, following a 14% increase in 2018. So the ones you have to look at is Las Vegas Sands, MGM, and Melco. And you had MGM on there. I think it was kicked off on the game. Let's see here. Lyft down 7%. Uber down 6%. California is going to be looking at passing a law, AB5, which could classify drivers as employees instead of contractors. How do you feel about that?
I think the whole, this thing began. The problem I have with Lyft and especially Uber is that they're scammish. They started off as, oh, this is ride sharing. This is not anything to worry about. It's people with a car, and then they have an app, and they're driving anyway. So let them drive and pick you up, and you get this sharing. It's a sharing economy. We're sharing, sharing, sharing. And with the long-term goal to have robot cars picking people up, which is hardly sharing. And as far as I'm concerned, these things can shrivel up and go away. But,
well, they're on their way.
People like it.
They're
people
on their
like
way.
Them. I still use taxis or I drive most of the time. I just like to drive. So I pay for gasoline. It's not going to.
It's very convenient. And the last point of notes here as we go into the second half of the show, where I'm going to actually open the door and see how it is outside, by the way. I'm going to bring you into what is happening outside.
The storm. The
yeah.
Real-time storm.
Yeah, Huawei has accused the U.S. of using every tool at its disposal to disrupt its business, including launching cyber attacks on its networks and instructing law enforcement agencies to menace its employees.
Bull crap.
Yeah, so.
Law enforcement agencies aren't, especially they're not going to menace anybody.
Yeah. So, well, a couple things. If you do love the show, if you want to stop the hissing, if you want to get.
Yes, we need money to stop the hissing.
We have the hiss fund that we're developing. Let me open the door here. Just kind of see what's happening outside. Oh, yeah. A little bit rainy. A little bit rainy out here. Got the wind starting to howl here. It's not bad. I mean, it's just a little bit of a breeze, a little bit of rain coming in from the outside, but that should quash.
Terrible.
Yeah, that should quash. That's probably would quash your hissing at this point. So let me kind of button this up here a little bit. This annoying.
That was a sound effect.
You think so? Actually, it was the weirdest sky tonight. It was like this purplish color. This almost like a dark lavender outside.
You should have taken some photos.
Yeah, I have one. Hey, listen, do me a favor. Seriously, for the Keep Andrew Dry Fund and the No Hiss Fund, for those of you, and I'll name you if you want me to do, if you want to get rid of the hum, you want to get rid of the hiss, one of those, please do me a favor. Go over to the DH Unplugged site, the website, www.dhunplugged.com. Click on the donate button. I think we need to raise about, I think we could get rid of a hiss for, $100, $120?
No, it's good. Well, a piece. I think it's going to cost you $500 minimum.
Well, I got to get a secondary soundboard for that, yeah. You know, a MIDI soundboard.
It may cost you $1,000 with all the work you have to put
into it. Oh, good. I got to get one of those really good ones. Make our voices sound even more sexy.
Hello.
Yeah. Get that deep stuff going on. All right, We have the close to the pin going on right now. It's gold. It'll be right now. Where are we with this right now? Let me see if I can open this up and see where we are and see how close people are to this. This is the ETF, the GLD ETF that we're looking at. And
Yeah, I think so.
John, you are 1.2% away from the actual number right now. And let's see, we got, I'm 2.75%. Neil L is 0.17, 25 cents away. John A is 58 cents away. And Daryl P is 59. Executive producers, that's fine. That's a different show, but we'll give you whatever you want for $500 there. Let's see here. What else do we got? Okay, Costco. These guys, they haven't done anything with the guns yet, but they're selling a 72-pound wheel of Parmesan Reggiano.
They're selling the big giant wheels.
Yeah, the big wheels. $900.
Not at ours. I was just at Costco. I didn't see anything like that.
No? Would you buy it for $900?
Well, if I was a restaurant or a place that goes through a lot of Parmesan, an Italian restaurant, sure I would.
Yeah, well, you know what you do? You do what everybody does on Instagram. You take the Parmesan, the cheese, and you cut the top off. Scoop a little bit of a hole in there, just a slight one, just to make an indentation, okay? Then you take, like, some kind of brandy, and you ignite it in a pot. Pour it in there slowly as it is in there. And then what you do is you kind of whisk it around and take a spoon and get the whole thing going. Then you take some hot pasta and throw it right in there. And then you kind of wave yourself around and you get that cheese on and turn it upside down and mix it together ever so gently and then scoop it out and put it on a plate. How delicious.
Who does this?
Oh yeah, I've seen it. You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, you gotta look up Parmesan wheel.
What's
pasta.
What's it called? Brandy pasta?
No, just look up Parmesan. They do it different ways. There's different ways to heat it. But look up Parmesan wheel pasta making.
Okay. I will.
The account of this I find pretty weird. The account of Twitter chief executive Jack Dorsey was hacked last week.
Yeah, I saw that. It was hilarious.
And he sent out a bunch of, the hacker sent out a bunch of racial slurs.
He's just
slurs.
Cussing. A lot of cussing.
What I don't understand is, first of all, if that happened to you or I, it would take us months, of course, to get this thing resolved. We couldn't stop the hack. The second thing is it possible it was really him, but he's using this for cover?
You mean he's a psycho?
Yeah. Is it possible?
That's a funny idea.
You just cover it right up and then you delete all the stuff. I mean, we would have a problem deleting all that stuff. I don't understand the whole thing. I don't understand how he got hacked and what the deal was and how the chief executive, if the chief executive of Twitter's Twitter account can get hacked, there's no hope for any of us.
Well, they probably use a password generator. You could probably do that with anybody if you wanted to just target them.
What would it be like, I love my beard? Don't shave it off, 1, 2, 3?
Password generator probably just does this, probably hardcore. It may have been running for months for all you know.
I've always wondered about those random password generator sites that randomize a password. And if somebody has the same algo if they could run that on yours. So anytime I do a random password, I change a few things.
Of course.
You know, just a couple things just to make it stand out. But, and a name, what's in a name? The number of parents in Britain calling their baby girls Alexa dropped by more than half last year, possibly due to the link with Amazon's Echo voice-controlled gadgets.
Ah.
I guess people didn't want to
go. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you can't name your kid Alexa.
Can't. Can't name it Siri.
Well, whoever named their kid Siri.
Google. Can't name it Google. You know? But you don't want to walk around the house and go, hey, you might see Alexa. What would you like, sir? You know, I mean, that would not work out so well. So, closing out this section right here, a little bit early today. We have a little lack of information, I guess. So kind of a slow week with the storm, I guess.
Well, it's a holiday, too.
Yeah, that's true. A Florida man, always a Florida man, who was he was found to have ecstasy pills shaped like the U.S. President Donald Trump's head.
Yeah, I've heard about these. These are supposed to be pretty good quality.
Oh. He's been charged with unlawful possession of a controlled substance in Pinellas County, which is north of here. So that's the thing? The ecstasy pills in the shape of, what's the shape of his head? Like a, like just a, like a.
It looks like Donald Trump's head. I've seen pictures of him. You can look him up on the net. They've been around for a while.
Ecstasy with Donald Trump. That's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous.
These guys are creative. Donald Trump's head.
All right. Well, anything else you want to bring up here?
They have some sort of name. Well, how's the pot stocks doing? Well,
terrible.
One of the big magazines.
Awful.
One of the big magazines. Oh, don't invest in pot stocks, whatever you do.
I mean, I'm looking at this list since we did it, since we put this up. The average stock is down. The average of all these down 25%. The ETF, MJ, the ETF. So when did we do this? Let me see what this
is. Been a while.
I don't know. I usually would have a date on here somewhere.
Huh. No, not if you're doing a list of pot stocks, you'd be too stoned to put the date.
Dude, I don't know what it did.
Hey, man, I forgot the date.
Whatever the date was that we did this, they're down 24%, the MJ. And then you have stocks down 70%, 29, 45. What's up? Let's see. Scott's Miracle-Gro.
Buying opportunity. I don't know what these other guys are saying.
Scott's Miracle-Gro is up. Cronus is up a little bit. Canopy Growth down 42%. Tilray down 41%. 26%.
Isn't Tilray one of the big, one of the movers?
Yeah. Scandinavian Tobacco. Schweizer Maut, which makes the paper, down 20%. Japan Tobacco Company down 22%. Swedish Match. They make the matches. This is all sorts of things that are in there.
Match company.
Just all down terribly.
Huh.
Yeah. There's some reason that's going on. Yeah, it's terrible. So, and I don't think that the whole idea of I think there's something going on with the overabundance of marijuana right now. They really started growing it like crazy when they got the go ahead to do so. And that's causing some problems. Yeah, we'll see. All right, let's get on over to, what button am I pushing here? Hang on. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discussed in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. So listen, I'm bowing to you right now, continuing to be in awe of your Aerojet Rocketdyne pick.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a penny stock.
No, it's $33 when we picked it up.
Right. It wasn't like it was a $2 stock that's got a $1
move.
Yeah,
they went to $4.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's up 55%. Doesn't these market gyrations and Aerojet Rocketdyne's like, I don't care. Doesn't matter.
It was a great pick.
Unbelievable.
The pick of the year.
Yep. Summer States Banks is up, which is good. MGM got booted because of what's going on, of course, in China. You got hit on that. Netflix up 21% on the short, down another 1.52% today.
That's a very good pick.
You got hit finally on the Argentina. Just couldn't. Yeah. Just they did a devaluation. Now they're doing currency controls and not. They're gonna make sure that currency and there's no flight of capital controls on there. Church and Dwight up 24%. Kinder Morgan up 5%. Dish 3. Planet Fitness. The that's interesting because my system said it stopped out, but I looked at it and it didn't. So I kind of changed the. I manually moved the stop to 12%. I'll watch it manually so I can see.
Which one?
Planet Fitness. Planet Fitness, it was down 5% today. My system said I was stopped out, but we never, in other words, you have to look for where the low point was and the high point and where that ever hit.
Yeah,
didn't work.
You
can
put it back. You can do that.
Semantic Corp down 3%. Wyndham Hotels of 4.15, which I'm kind of surprised about. Considering all the things that are going on with regard to Hong Kong and okay, but still a little bit of a safer play. Eventually, I guess they figure that things will resolve there, but also, you know, the hotels are generally a safer play, value oriented. They sold off the growth over the last several days and today it was hit again, growth orientation. So, I do not have a pick because I was too busy boarding up the house,
battening the hatches,
putting straps on the boat. Making sure the bilge pump worked, making sure that the lift was up, you know, all that good stuff. Do you have any picks?
Well, if I was going to have a pick, it would be Dish Network.
You have
it. But unfortunately, I already have it picked.
Yeah.
Well, then I said, well, maybe I can pick something else. It would have been Red Rock Resorts.
Oh.
Well, I already picked that too. So my picks, I've already picked. But those are my two picks.
So you have more confidence on those two names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Dish Network.
Yep.
The guy, the insider who's executive vice president, I think, I can't remember his name, that's been buying it up. I looked at his track record over the decade or so, and he was, you know, he was buying a lot of Dish Network when it was down at 5 and he moved it up, and he kept it going, and then we got to $10, $15 a share. No, they kept buying it, and then when it got into the 30s, he started selling it. Yeah. And selling it consistently. And it looked like he knew what he was doing. And then he stopped selling it. And he started picking it up again at 30. So he's one of these guys. And I think that people are going to look at insiders and what they do. Some of them like to trade. And you can watch what their record is. I mean, there's different places you can find these things. You can look these guys up because they have to file paperwork. And you see that the guy seems to know what he's doing. You can kind of say, well, the guy seems to know what he's doing. He's in the company. He's a vice president. And yeah, I'll go along with the program. And he's buying a lot of this Dish Network stock up at the 30s. And I think at one point it hit 70. I don't know what's up with Dish Network, but something might be.
Hmm. I want to mention that you can also listen to John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry, who turned 55 years old today. So happy birthday today. To Adam Curry. Yeah. And you can listen to him on No Agenda, the No Agenda show on Thursdays and on Sundays at 12 p.m. And of course, you could read some of John's articles. Do you have any new ones coming out, the essays?
I do. I have a couple, actually. I did send it. Right now, I'm just following the candidates. So I have a new candidate rundown, which I tweeted about, but I haven't sent. I'll attach it to the next newsletter that I do on tomorrow.
All right. Maybe we'll send it out to our people, too.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Disciplined Investor podcast, which is on Sundays. We had a great discussion with a millennial this week and all about how millennials invest and how they have to feel good about things and how they have to, you know, they don't want to buy.
You have to have a story, too,
story, and it has to feel good. And we don't want to be involved in companies that are not doing the right thing and that are hurting the environment and that maybe, you know, toxic gases.
Yeah.
Or I'm like.
Yeah, so they don't really care about making money.
No. But, you know, they don't. And I said, you know what? Can I just give you a little bit of prediction? This is not going to last forever with you. You will change your mind eventually.
Idealism. I've seen it come and go.
Right. So, all right. With that, we're going to sign off for the evening.
Hopefully, I'm glad the storm missed you guys. And we'll talk again on Tuesday.
All right. Great. See you then.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.